Master Tavern Keepers, History of the Old World.
And so, a little reluctantly, I have to say, I related to Benona the tale that I'm about to relate to you. A few years earlier, Merchant and I happened to find ourselves in the shadow of the peaks, just north of the moor, just back when we were running an errand for the Venerable Lyme, under whom we were both mentoring at the time.
Ah, yes. So, did this happen around the same sort of time that you encountered the giant bollocks, and help fend off the Norse invaders off the coast then?
Ach, well remembered. Yes, that happened about a month or so later. You two really are very attentive listeners. It gladdens my heart. Anyhow, we'd been tasked with planting some seeds on the old grave of Winduna at the foot of Gwyn Ap Nith Mountain. We'd skipped around the moor as instructed and found the ancient green grave. Murchard planted the seeds, whilst I intoned the blessing that we'd been taught, and we immediately saw them germinate into life, their tiny little leaves happily poking through the shallow blasted soil. We were feeling pretty chuffed with ourselves, but we should have known better there. For at that very moment, lightning forked down from the sky, the sound of thunder pealed above our heads, and the clouds above burst into rain. We tried to descend as quickly as we could, but the heavy rain slowed us down. The ground quickly became sodden and the rocks slippery underfoot. In fact, the downpour became so bad that as the sun started to sink, we decided to give it up and seek cover instead of going any further.
This is ridiculous, Cedric. I can't see 6 foot in front of my face for the rain, and there doesn't seem to be anywhere to take shelter.
And indeed, there was nothing in that bleak place. No trees, no overhangs of rocks, no holes. Nothing. Until. A lightning strike lit up what looked like a cave a short distance away from the foothills of the mountain, over in the nearby moor. We immediately began to make for it, trudging through the boggy heathland, splashing our way through the flooding streams, and then dragging ourselves onto the windy moorland itself.
Come on, Cedric. We're almost there. Just a little further.
As we got close to the rock-strewn entrance to the cave, we saw smoke rising from within, and the smell of cooking meat assailed our nostrils. Richard and I immediately looked at each other and nodded before running headlong towards the ingress. We were weary and wary, but we could bear the wet and the cold. What we could not fight, though, was our hunger. It was the emptiness in our bellies that grabbed us by our tongues and dragged us towards the cave. I leapt from rock to boulder, skidding and steadying myself, almost tumbling a number of times, but managing to remain standing thanks to my shillelagh, which I gripped tightly throughout.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Och, by the old ones, Heinrich, not this again. My staff of light, I mean. You know, this big stick here.
Ah, yeah, yeah. My apologies. Please, continue. Oh.
And it isn't just a climbing aid. Without this to focus my powers, I'm just an unarmed man, you see. And no one wanders Albion unarmed.
Anyhow, We
both finally reached the cave, and we were greeted by a small conspiracy of ravens. They too sheltering from the downpour and feeding on scraps of cooked meat. They glanced at us momentarily before returning to their meal. As we peered into the cave, we saw a large fire, its flames shifting in hue. At first, it was orange, then pink, then blue, and then finally went back to orange once more. Suddenly, a voice called out from the darkness.
Why, a good evening to you, dear travellers. I was not expecting such honoured company here. You are lucky to have made it. The moor is greedy and does not often let anyone reach me.
Who are you? And what is this place? Murchard had taken a step forwards as he spoke, holding up his own staff of light towards the stranger. He was trembling. I did not know if it was simply the cold or something else. I mirrored him, though, and brandished my own shillelagh.
My dear truthsayers, what sort of greeting is this? Let me show you how it's done. Here, I offer you food and insight, nourishment and truth. What say you?
And with that, the figure stepped into the light. He wore a heavy blue hood that hid his face. He too bore a staff. His, though, was adorned with the skull of a raven, set upon exotic green and blue feathers, and encircled by the image of a strange serpentine fish.
Welcome. Come freely and warm yourselves by my fire. Speak and listen. I will answer your questions.
And with these words, he moved to the far side of the fire. The sound of a chain rattling, accompanying his movement. He beckoned us to come closer. We could see that he was dressed in a long robe made of the same blue material as his hood. Above the fire was a large pot, suspended by a chain from the ceiling, its contents slowly bubbling, dizzying aromas swirling from it. I'll ask again, who are you? Where is this?
I am known as the Dewar around these parts. I have many other names, though, and none. As to this place, it is called Snara Tor, and it is my abode, at least for the moment. Although many would wish it be mine forever. But now, it is my turn. Who are you? And what brings you here?
And so we introduced ourselves and told Dewar of how we came to the cave.
You are lucky. The way here is covered in treacherous rocks, and the moor has many ways of ensnaring the unwary. Be they mortal or immortal. But are you not hungry after your travails? Please, please, eat. Eat, have your fill. I am obliged to feed all who come here.
At the Dewar's words, I rose, the ache in my belly urging me forwards. I looked into the pot. Thick slabs of juicy meat bobbed to its surface before descending again. I also saw that there was a stack of stone bowls and a copper ladle at my feet. I took up the ladle in one hand and a bowl in the other and stirred the pot. The rich scent of sweet meats and herbs engulfed me. I drew out a choice selection and poured it into my bowl. By now, I was salivating like a dog. I could almost taste it, even before I brought it up to my mouth. But before it could touch my lips, it was kicked out of my hands. It was Murchard. He was pointing his staff at the doer and edging back towards the entrance to the cave. I see you, demon. Cedric, look at the birds. Look at what you're about to eat. And as if waking from a daze, I looked back towards the ravens. They were gone, and in their place were bird-shaped rocks. I immediately looked at the contents of the fallen bowl, and this too had become a tumble of pebbles. I saw Murchard begin to chant, to summon a fireball to strike the duplicitous trickster that had seemingly tried to petrify us. But nothing happened.
Magics do not work here. Not yours, not mine. The trap is not my own either. It has ensnared me as much as it tried to ensnare you.
Bollocks, as the old giant would say. We are walking out of here right now. But at this, the doer merely laughed, and from under his robes came out three arms that gestured at the cave entrance. We backed away and moved to the edge of the cave, but the landscape outside had changed beyond all recognition. Snara Tor had become an island in a lake of black water. The other side of the lake, distant and lined by huge, towering, standing stones.
So, today we are in Kembrokewell Pool, are we? I wouldn't wade out into that, truthsayers. It's bottomless, and its waters buoy nothing living. You're as snared here as I am. But at least you can starve to death and join the lights that dance upon the heath at night. I do not have that luxury.
Who are you really then, demon? And how did you find your way to be here?
Oh, a story to while away the time? Perhaps that'll alleviate a modicum of my boredom.
And so the demon drifted closer to us and beckoned for us to sit by the fire.
My name is unimportant. The doer will do, although I'm known by many names. The perplexing prankster, the deceiving horror, the trickster, the changeling, and many more, each equally as trite and mundane as the next. As to why I'm here, well, it was as a result of a bit of fun. Once, I stole the silver apples of knowledge palace of the Dark Prince and use them to start a war between him and that foul, torpid grandfather of the Garden of Decay. But my ploy was unearthed, and it angered the perfect prince, so much so that he sent Helbane, his monarch of the hunt, after me. A most unusual move on his part, not one I'd anticipated. Long were the years that Helbane tracked me, until at last I was cornered here on this island, after fleeing through the gate out there on the moor.
The gate? What gate?
Yes, truthsayer, don't you know? This place is littered with magical stones and monuments, and one of these is the gate. You can't miss it. It's a large stone disc with a hole carved through its middle, flanked by several towering, standing stones.
But, actually, I did know of it. I had heard of it from my mentor, the Venerable Bede. He told me that the large circular stone was one of the gateways made by the Slan for their masters, the old ones. He said that if you work widdishins around the stone 9 times on a full moon, that a gateway will appear within the hole at its center. A doorway to somewhere known as above. Anyhow, the demon didn't go into any of that, I have to say.
Helbane caught me there, but did not kill me. No, not that. Rather, a fate far worse. He damned me to boredom.
And at these words, he raised up a chain linked to a collar around his neck that was hammered into the ceiling and then down into the cauldron over the fire.
It is one of the colors of the blood god that Helbane had taken from one of its victims. It renders my magics and yours, truthsayer, null. Helbane then laid a curse on me to petrify all who come to this cave and eat, until the cave is full of stones and I am buried down here forever. You two are the first to not fall into the trap. But you cannot leave despite this.
Bollocks, we can't! And Murchard leapt up and kicked the cauldron, spilling its contents all over the cave floor, where it immediately turned into a pile of rocks and pebbles. Murchard then grabbed a large fist-sized stone, thrust his staff of light into the demon, and pinned him to the floor. Don't just sit there, Cedric. Help me break this collar. And I too leapt up. I grabbed the empty cauldron, and together we began to pummel both the demon and the collar about his neck, until it eventually broke.
Free!
But we were ready. Murchard immediately cast a fireball at the jubilant, neverborn creature. As I summoned a flock of enchanted etheric birds to attack old Dewar. And they pecked and tore at the burning demon, tearing him apart piece by piece. please.
Enough. Be gone, mortals. You bore me.
And at his words, the air around us began to prickle with heat before gripping us both tight. Suddenly, I felt as if I was spinning inside a barrel, tumbling down a hill, flipping over and over and over and over, bending and folding until suddenly the cave was gone. And we found ourselves stood upon the lost road. I looked at Murchard in disbelief. For a moment, the idea that it had all been some sort of nightmare took hold of me, and I said as much to Murchard.
I don't think so. Look at your hand. And I did. I was still holding the enchanted cauldron.
I looked about us. It was then that I realised exactly where we were, and I pointed up towards the dark, looming shape that dominated the horizon. We were at the entrance to the swamps that led up to the Forge of the Old Ones.
By the gods, that was a close shave. Sounds like you encountered the Changeling, that terrible meddler and deceiver of the dark god of change, Tzeentch. Although, in the circumstances that you found him in, he was unable to pull off any of his usual tricks of changing form and causing mayhem, at least until you freed him.
Ach, well, yes, there is that.
Anyway, you are very, very lucky to be here today after such an encounter.
Exactly. And after relating the story to Benona and the other members of the entourage, no one thought the lights on the heath were pretty. And certainly no one wished to go out onto the moor. Oh, yeah, as they say back in my old hometown, stick to the road, beware of the moors.